Well, I prefer this informality, I think. It's a little different than in chapel, though I prefer the chapel for conferences. You know, in general, what we are met for this morning? No. Oh. Well, I suggested this. You have received copies of the Catholic Catechism, and the purpose of this conference, which will last maybe 40 or so minutes, will be to introduce you to a program of doctrinal formation that I hope to cooperate with you on, with the encouragement of your superiors, anticipating what I will say in detail later on. Let me just say briefly that I am hoping that your community over the last, I've seen for the last, is it 2 years now?
2 years.
2 years. I've convinced myself has a future, and a good future. On the other hand, I'm also convinced that, like all communities in the church today, you need more depth and a clearer and deeper understanding of the faith both that you profess and the worship that you give to God. The Second Vatican Council stressed the indispensable need for all religious communities to renew themselves, not only in spirit in the sense of getting back to their founders, which happily you don't have to get back to, but to get back to the foundations of the faith. Continued doctrinal formation is a mandate of the church for religious communities today. We used to reserve the word formation for those who came in and for the first 3 to 5 or more years, depending on how long their period of probation lasted, as we call it, then they were considered to have been formed. Well, the church does not believe it is either adequate or even wise today. There are too many cross currents of untruth. There is such a convulsion going on within human society, and with emphasis in the Western world, that has affected the church, that even on that level, no community is safe unless its roots are very deep in the faith. Moreover, if, as I am confident, the Lord will send you more and more new members, they will immediately look for this. They need this. They want depth. And the depth is not a word. Depth is a reality. It means a deep understanding and appreciation of the faith that underlies the whole spiritual life. Well, with that as a background, let me begin at the beginning and then bring you up to where all of us come in, because after considerable prayer, I have decided to involve myself in a way and to a degree with your community that I have not so far been involved. That passive voice, by the way, is correct. Have been involved. I am now exercising the active voice. As much as you can and wish, and with your superiors' approval, you want. First, the Catechism. You've all received copies.
Yes, Father.
And were you told how you got copies?
No, Father, I would like you to tell them. Please.
Well, I asked, or I found out, that you did have a copy or two available. Since this catechism, though I wrote it, is not really my production, it was done under the strong recommendation of the Holy See. I would never have undertaken this, except that I was all but told by the Vatican to do so. So I did. It's the longest manuscript I've ever written. It's 300,000 words, to save you the counting. The need for such a compendium of the faith today, I think, is admitted on all sides. One index of its meeting a need is the sale of the Catechism. Since its publication on the 23rd of May, it has sold over 20,000 copies each month. It has received endorsement from over 60 members of the hierarchy. And the latest endorsement was from the Congregation for Sacred Doctrine, where this is where the faith, you might say, is especially preserved, strongly recommending this to all the faithful. After it was finished, the manuscript, it was sent to Rome. That was the formula. I was told, you write it, send it to us, and if we like it, we'll tell you. Talk about an act of faith. Almost 3 years of writing might have gone down the drain if they had said, we don't like it. Well, evidently they said they liked it. And I received other letters from Rome since indicating that they are happy. The Congregation for Religious just informed me, they all received copies, of course, that they've already begun using it. So it's our faith. It's not my ideas, it's the faith that we profess. Given the existence of a catechism like this, why choose the title? All kinds of other titles might have been chosen. It was recommended because, partly to counteract the Dutch catechism, but partly also to have everybody recognize that this is a compendium of the faith that can be used for teaching, which is what catechism essentially is. It's teaching the faith. Other meanings have, you know, come into the word since, but essentially that's what it means, communicating the faith to others. Well, that means communicating the faith to ourselves, and in the apostolate that, well, all priests and religious and laity are somehow to be engaged also to affect others. The publication has been so phenomenally successful for Doubleday, which is the largest publisher in the world. They've just signed a contract with the Chapman publisher in London for sale in the United Kingdom. And the English publishers already sent an advance royalty to Doubleday, being sure that the English, or the English-speaking people, also need to know what they still believe. But in view of a reception that none of us expected, since I began writing this, well, a little later, once I realized how much the publisher was going to invest, The publisher has spent $250,000 publishing this book. In the month of August, by telephone I heard the other day, they are spending $10,000 for advertising just in the month of August. Well, since the book has begun to sell, and even before, I've been praying every day that God might bless the circulation of what is after all our faith. Cannot tell you how many masses I've offered, which is what St. Ignatius tells us to do. You want something to succeed, have mass offered for the intention. About a month ago, I was called in by the publishers. I teach in New York, as you know. And I was recommended to write two other manuscripts built around the Catechism to help its use. Because after all, it's one thing to have a book like this. It's another thing to tell people how to use it. It's like some of these fancy new bottles. You don't know what to do with it. How do you open it even? See? So how do you use it? So we discussed and I agreed to write two manuscripts. One which would be a guide for the use of the Catechism, and another which would be a synthesis of the Catechism in question and answer form, to really capsulize, because there's an awful lot here, and often without having questions and answers, even the average educated reader would hardly know which is more important, what is less important, and often the answers might be couched in either so many words or sometimes such technical words that the full meaning could be lost. I agreed to write both manuscripts. Well, after considerable thought and prayer during the month, I decided to combine the two in one volume. I have not yet told the publisher, but since they're the ones who want it, and I'm going to write it, I know they will agree. I am combining the manual for use with the epitome of contents in one volume. It will be, I suppose, around a 75,000 word manuscript, which is only 1/4 this size. The plan is I will finish it by Christmas. Well, provided you budget your time and you pray a lot, God does strange things. Especially He gives you ideas, which is the main function of grace. See, I can write provided I've got ideas. So I tell the Lord, you keep giving me ideas, I'll just write. See? That then is stage number two of what I wanted to share with you. Stage number one is the Catechism itself. Stage number two is what will also be published sometime, I hope, by late next spring, which I am calling a manual for the Catholic Catechism, or simply manual for the Catholic Catechism. Now, I thought to myself, knowing two things, knowing the need of religious institutes in general, knowing your community in particular, and wanting as far as I can to do what I can, that I would begin writing, and what I did, I began writing the manual during my retreat, for which I have the best possible model. My great patron, Robert Bellarmine. In his annual retreat, he always got his full meditations in and all the prayer, but he wrote along spiritual lines, and then he published. So I began writing the manual here at Jemez Springs. And as I was writing, I asked your sisters to begin typing. There will be, before the manual is finished, about 1,500 questions and answers. As of last night, and I just received from Sister Virginia Marie, did you type this?
Yes, ma'am.
Where is she? I finished up to question 94. Oh, pardon me, 95. I did want an even number, 95. I am leaving with you a copy of the manuscript as it is being written. You then will begin using it 6 to 9 months before it's published. Now, whom is this manual to be used by? And keep this in mind as, sisters, you work with this, because with God's grace, a great deal of good can be done beyond even present expectations. It is first of all meant for priests. So that they will know what their faith is. Now you might say, well, every priest knows. That's not true. Every priest should know. There is so much confusion today. Many priests simply don't know. Did I have occasion to mention volume 16? I think I did, didn't I, of the New Catholic Encyclopedia during our retreat? Of the Catholic Encyclopedia?
Yes, Father.
I think I did. Where I refer to several articles, where there's an article on process theology which denies that God is all perfect. Where the Pope is made to look like a boob, I mean Paul VI. And where they are practically telling the people that women are going to be ordained priests. And where two articles written by a friend of mine for the 16th volume, I was one of the editors for the original Catholic Encyclopedia. That is up to volume 15 inclusive. So I know what went into it. But volume 16 has been taken over by other hands. And a friend of mine, in fact, we're on the faculty together in New York, a Dominican, whom I recommend very highly. If you could ever get Father Bruce Williams to come to Jemez Springs, they don't come any smarter or better or more articulate. Fairly young man. He wrote an article on abortion and contraception. The editors, without his knowledge, changed what he wrote. So that by the time you finish those two articles, the articles are saying the opposite of what he wrote. And has the imprimatur of Archbishop Baum of Washington. May God forgive him. I'm sure he never read the manuscript. So for priests, confusion, thrice confounded, then religious, then of course the laity, especially parents who are in such desperate need today to know what they should still teach their children because of the weird things they are often hearing in what are to be nominally Catholic classrooms. So the manual is to be used by all three levels of the faithful. The question of how the manual, this is the manual for the catechism, will be used, will depend, of course, on who uses it. But naturally, an author must anticipate how a thing can be used, otherwise it's pretty hard to use it. So what I have done in the manual, as you will get copies, advance copies, now I would, only one restriction that I would ask, and that is that it not be shared outside the community, which makes sense, because it's really not my property. Once I contract to write a manuscript, it's not mine. I mean, it belongs to the publisher. Or better, it's jointly ours, but I have no more right, in fact, less right over it, and the publisher who invests a fortune. So it's for yourselves, all right, sisters? When it's printed, then you will get what you will see in print. There will, of course, be some modifications in the process of writing, but substantially, you'll be getting what will be published. What I have done, and let me, if you don't mind, sisters, read from what we've got and what are you are to expect to see and to look for it. I wish I could do this with all the people. I hope thousands will be using the manual, because the sale of the catechism is expected to be 100,000 before Christmas. So there will be thousands using it. I wish, as I say, I could talk to everybody that would use it, because it would, you know, help the people to use it profitably. I have, first of all, let me give you in sequence what you will find. There are, first of all, several pages of introduction to the manual. And may I ask Sister Virginia Marie if you would type out or print out a title page, which will be Manual of the Catholic Catechism, on top, okay? And then the rest will follow. Suppose I read, it's not a long introduction to the book. This manual is intended as a guide for group discussion and private study of the Catholic faith. Why did I put group discussion first? Because it helps to sell. Because I was told that one of the main purposes of this manual will be as a discussion guide for parishes throughout the country. See, they've got parish councils. They've got, groups for education. They've got teachers. For example, CCD programs. And they meet together to discuss. So I was told to highlight the factor of discussion. Though in your case, I would invert the priorities, okay? The first is your work, private study, and group discussion. Why do I put it first here? For sales purposes. As such, it presumes that the teachings of this faith are available to the reader and even identifies where they can be found. Specifically, they are available in the sacred scriptures, Old and New Testaments, the 16 documents of the Second Vatican Council, and the Catholic Catechism. I will make comments as I go along, okay? Every sister should have available, first of all, a copy of the Catechism, a copy of the 16 documents of Vatican II published by the Daughters of St. Paul. No other edition should be used. And Whether, do you have copies of the whole Bible? Okay. Well, the Old and New Testaments. Jerusalem Bible, I prefer because that's what this is built on, and built on because I prefer it, but at least a copy of the Bible. You will need all three sources, but mainly this one, to handle the questions. Accordingly, the purpose of this, then I underline the title, Manual of the Catholic Catechism, is to serve as a kind of roadmap for the believing Catholic or the sincere inquirer. You know where I got the analogy of roadmap? From my good friend, Cardinal Wright. Its function is to lead him safely and wisely, with a minimum of inconvenience, through the vast expanse of the Catholic religion. However, it does not stand alone, no more than a travel guide by itself will disclose the beauties of nature or the monuments of history to the would-be traveler. He must actually visit the places described in the guidebook. You must actually visit the places described in the manual. So here too, those who wish to know what God has revealed to his people and what the church teaches the faithful must read this revelation and teaching and reflect on their meaning. Synthesized in the Bible and the church's tradition and now capsulized in the Catholic Catechism, the wisdom of Catholicism is more easily accessible than most people suppose. Yet being accessible is one thing. For example, the museums of Chicago. I am told they are world famous. I have reluctantly, on one occasion, because somebody dragged me, walked through the halls of one. Maybe I should. All I'm saying is just because things are there doesn't mean you use them. You must use the Catechism, the Bible, and the documents of Vatican II to profit from this study program. It was for this reason that the present manual was written by popular demand, as it was, as a useful aid for teaching the Catholic Catechism. Notice, I'm putting my priorities for sales purposes. Everybody reads the introduction. For teaching the Catholic Catechism. Well, there are teachers who need it. For discussion and dialogue, and in parochial and other group meetings, you are one of these other group meetings, for private study by priests, religious, and the laity, and in general, for making the riches of the Catholic religion more available to persons and organizations who believe with the Second Vatican Council that, quotes, rising from the dead, Christ sent his life-giving spirit upon his disciples, and through them has established his body, which is the church, as the universal sacrament of salvation, unquote. Like all sacraments, however, the church must first be known to be appreciated. It is hoped that this manual, used as a guide for the Bible, the teachings of the Second Vatican Council, and the Catholic Catechism, will be of some service toward a greater appreciation and understanding of Catholic Christianity. Okay? You'll all get copies of this. Now, that's the beginning. Then I go on to give general directives for the use of the manual. What I've discovered as a teacher, you never take anything for granted. If you do, they don't learn it. It's that simple. So general directives, let me read these two because I want to make comments as I go along. Read through each chapter carefully. There are 14 chapters, some shorter, some like the one on the commandments of God, very long. Read through each chapter carefully. Do that first, making special note of any technical terms that may be unfamiliar. There are plenty. I would say several thousand. I don't mean they're all that technical, but nevertheless, they're not that intelligible. Revelation, faith, mystery, they can mean a lot of things. For the Catholic Church, they mean just one thing, and it's important for us to know. So making special note of any technical terms that may be unfamiliar, just jot them down. The teaching of the Church is often expressed in words that are not commonly used in everyday speech, because everyday speech of most people is secular, right? And the result is we have a rich secular vocabulary, we have a very impoverished sacred vocabulary. Yet these terms are laden with religious meaning and should be known by every well-instructed Catholic. Also, so number two, if you wish, also watch for biblical references that occur in the text. Whether the scripture passage is quoted along with a reference or not, in most cases it is not. Why not? Because the publisher asked me not to. They wanted to keep the hardback, which sells for $9.95. See, this is both in hard and paperback. The hardback sells for $9.95. They wanted to keep the book, the hardback, under $10. And if I had quoted the full text of all the biblical references, and I did, in the original manuscript, it was 1,100 pages. I was sorry to let them go, because many of the things can be seen only when you read what the Bible says. Now, sisters, this is going to be as profitable to you as you will put whatever time superiors allow you and energy you have. So do read the scripture. So whether the scripture passage is quoted or not, if it is not, it will be useful to look the passage up in the Bible in order to see it in full context, which I had done but was told to reduce. Because, by the way, the hardback, of course, is the same size, some 630 pages. A hardback book today to be published for under $10 is impossible unless they plan to sell 100 or more thousand copies. They couldn't have made the price. So the price is low with this, the $5.95 too, only because of quantity sales. Because after the first 10,000 copies, well, all the typesetters have been paid and everything. All they have to do is pay for the paper and run the machines. But do know that the full development of the catechism means the scripture passages. They add almost 400 pages to this text. But you have the Bible, read it, okay? That's number two. 3. Since the Catechism was built mainly around the Second Vatican Council, the pertinent documents, generally one or two in particular, can be profitably read along with the Catechism treatment of each aspect of the Catholic faith and practice. How do you know which document or documents to read? You find that from the reference in the back. See, I did not want to clutter the manual with too many minute references. It would cheapen it. And after you write a number of books, you get a feel for what, you know, a book should be. So I may say something maybe in the appendix or maybe in another introduction, but I'm also depending on you, sisters, to also tell me, you know, what you find good, what you need more explanation on, and things like that. At any rate, in the references, you find the documents referred to. For example, for the first chapter, it's mainly the doctrine or the document on divine revelation. Now, you can either read it as you go along, or read it beforehand, or at least don't hesitate to look it up when you come across a question that you're answering. Now, time will be important here because you don't have that much for this. You see? I'll describe the mechanics of this. Your superiors will make further adjustments as necessary. Anyhow, do not ignore, let me put it that way, do not ignore the documents of the Church, because the book, the Catechism, is built on two sources, Vatican II and the Bible, okay? So if you don't go back to where this thing is all from, a lot of things will not be nearly as clear, surely not as deeply understood, as they will be if you spend the time, and by the way, then you can use your meditation time, right? In reflecting by choice on those passages which have something to do with that which you are trying to more deeply understand with the grace of God. Now, that's direction three. Now begins directive four. The plan for the manual is to offer two sets of data for each section of every chapter of the Catechism. There are 14, did I say, or 12 chapters? 12 chapters and 14. 14 chapters and I don't know how many subsections. I did not take the subsections, the little ones. In most cases, there will be at least two, and with the commandments, well, maybe 10. Each subsection will have its own two sets of data, and this is where you come in beyond what I've already recommended. Both of these sets of data may be used either by individuals working privately or by a number of persons working together. I recommend both to you, sisters. In both cases, the purpose of the manual is to derive maximum benefit from reflecting on the Church's faith and teaching, and if possible, sharing these reflections with others, which for you would mainly be among yourselves. And I guess in general, though if you were professional teachers, then of course the understanding would be you would carry it beyond yourselves to those saying you were teaching. What are these two sets of data? There are, first of all, questions for answering and group discussion, and they will always be so labeled. Questions for answering and group discussion. Now the big one. These can be answered directly from the Catechism. What are the questions? Each of the 1,500 questions in the finished book will be, and this is what I've done, I've decided to combine, did I tell you this? I've decided to combine the guide for using the Catechism and the Manual of Catholic Doctrine by uniting the two. So what I've done is to have each question followed, by the way, pretty much in sequence, but not always. In other words, they are pretty much, the questions will follow pretty much in the order in the Catechism, but not entirely, because sometimes an idea is suggested by a previous question, which is not necessarily the next one in the Catechism, but logically, the question should be raised. But in general, it follows the sequence in the Catechism. There is a question and numbered, and the questions will write down from 1 to, I figure, 1,500. And as you go along, you figure, and I keep checking myself, how many questions am I asking? So I don't end up with too many. That's going to be the danger. I think 1,500 is enough. It will be approximately 2.5 to 3 questions per page on an average. There is the question, let me read one. In fact, let me read the first one. Anticipating, I'm going to finish the direct because I just want to illustrate. Question 1. What is divine revelation? Divine revelation, in general, is... So it's a question within a question. Well, the question within a question is the answer to the first question. Divine revelation, in general, is A. Everything we know, B, everything we know about God, C, everything that God has made known to us about himself. You are to choose one of those three. Let me say, there may be some exceptions. But I would say in every case, every one of the options is correct. Well, then is the question, what is the best option? Question number 2, what is natural revelation? Natural revelation is the knowledge we acquire about God, A, by reason alone. That's correct. B, but from reflection on the works of creation. That's correct. C, by reason through reflection on his works of creation. That's correct. Do you get the point? You then will be asked, will be, it's not future tense, you are being asked, to choose one of the three. Don't choose it casually. And I'm anticipating what I've suggested that you do. You will get a reprint in mimeograph form of these questions, but not as closely typed as they are here. There will be space between the questions, because one of the directives that I have behind each question and its most satisfactory answer should always be a reason for the chosen option. In other words, I want you not just to answer, but to know why you answer. If desired, and for you it is desired, besides answering the questions, the one using the manual may, I am requesting that you do, also give a brief explanation of why he answered the way he did. Does that make sense? You will have space. It won't be too much, so it won't scare you. If you wish, you can use more space. Right on the reverse, if you wish. Put 2 or 3 or 13 or 66 or whatever it is, and go on with your explanation of why you chose what you did. This combination of what and why, because having taught for 20 years, I've discovered that so many students, all they ever learn is the what. They never learn the why. But this combination of what and why will ensure a sound grasp of every issue raised, especially if there is available someone to check the accuracy of why a particular response was made. Now do pray that I will be able to find the time to do this for you sisters. Because once I leave Jemez Spring, I go to Chicago, of course, today, then the floodwaters, the Red Sea having been parted, if that's a figure of speech, the waters come back together again, see? And then start all the responsibilities that I have. But I've convinced myself, first of all, that your community is worth it. Secondly, that it will help you to do the work that you're supposed to do, and that also I believe I'm supposed to do in working for priests. Okay, sisters? But I do ask your cooperation. Now, we're not making students out of you. In other words, I should add, by the way, lest you get scared, the plan that I have for your community is 3 years to go through the catechism. How's that? Well, it's the whole faith. Because if we have 1,500 questions, approximately 500 a year, that would mean an average of 10 a week, right? If you intelligently answer 10 questions a week, and if even in a sentence or more, now sisters, don't look upon it as a burden, please. Otherwise it would spoil the whole. I hope I am making sense, sisters. I'm not trying to, you know, burden you with anything. I'm not trying to sell you anything. I want to cooperate with the grace that I think God has given you. All right? So, that's the second. However, what I further recommend for your community, which is not here because I didn't write this just for the handmaids, I recommend that when you get the feedback back. Now, how much of this I can do, sisters, will depend, of course, on time and things that, see, as you know, next year, starting in 2 weeks, I start teaching in New York and also in Philadelphia. I'm also teaching in Philadelphia. I remain, of course, on our faculty, Jesuit School of Theology in Chicago. I have responsibilities there. We've begun a sisters' formation program in New York. for the training of novice mistresses and other such worthy individuals. I am the editor of a several-volume series on the Second Vatican Council, commentary on the Second Vatican Council, which is being subsidized by St. John's University. And I've got to get my prayers in and so on. I'm talking among friends, so you realize, to make it as, not as easy for me as possible, but as cooperative as possible, so that we will, with God's grace, be able to do as much as we mutually can. I figure that if every 2 weeks for a start, starting about the middle of September, this is what I thought, that we began about mid-September, and you will not be given, though I've, you know, been reading things for you, you will not be given the questions until you're ready to answer them. I don't think it's smart for you to see the questions you're supposed to answer until shortly before you're to answer them. It does something psychologically. My recommendation, I might just as well combine, you know, my practical advice to you. My advice is that these questions be mimeographed with adequate space in between, maybe depending on the length of the question, 2 or 3 per page, so that you'll have ample space to both encircle. And I think the easiest way, rather than underline, because sometimes it's a rather long underlining, just encircle. My sisters may ask you to be real, plain. I think it might even be good to use a colored pencil to encircle so that it'll be easier to correct, okay? So we don't have to, you know, scrounge to see, you know, what's encircled because of the mimeograph is in, you know, in black ink. Then you put a black circle, you might have to even look for the circle, see? I'm suggesting using red, okay? And there are black ballpoints, I always have them. To make it easier, just encircle A, B, or C, all right? Because you're going to get these back. And underlining, and sometimes if the underlining is not neat, it kind of messes up the page, see? Because this should then be for you later on, something which you can hold on to, right? You're going to get these back. You answer then, A, B, or C. Don't rush to the answer, sisters. Please, all right? None of the questions is obvious. I mean, they're all close. And they're not to trick anybody, but to teach. Because as I've been telling my students, and in this case, for the first time, well, not quite maybe, you will then be students enrolled in what university shall we call it? I tell my students, we know anything short of the beatific vision only by contrast. Whatever we know, take color. How could I begin to describe that the background of this color is, I guess it's yellow or tan? Where would I begin to prove it? The only reason I know that this is yellow, and people have agreed on calling it yellow, we make the funny sound called yellow when the eye see the funny color called, well, yellow, okay? But only by comparison with another color. And so with all ideas, the intelligibility of the faith, we're talking about the faith, depends on contrast. Comparing, that is, one thing with another thing. So then you indicate what is the correct answer. Then give a reason for your answer. Then, other words, you'll be given these just shortly before you will be asked to answer them. I recommend that the questions be answered privately, because otherwise I wouldn't quite be sure, because being so charitable, I mean, you'd exchange ideas and so on, so this is not a matter of honesty, it's a matter of, you know, of common sense. So answer the questions privately. And it might be a good idea to answer them about the same time. I'm not telling you how to do it, I'm just saying you answer them about the same time. Then turn them in. Now, is Sister Mary Gertrude going to be the one who is? Yes. She's going to be the liaison between your community and myself. Then you send those to New York. I should add before I go any further, though I've got a meeting with Brother Matthias in Albuquerque at 1 o'clock. What we might do, Mother, is maybe call him up and tell him that we'll be a little late or something, and because this is not yet Albuquerque. Sister, would you mind closing the windows? Just those. I think somebody decided to use a buzz saw. And whenever I'm recording, I'm very sensitive to other stuff. That when you answer, you turn them in, and they will be sent to New York. I will correct the answers. Now, of course, I will need help with this. But I should say before I go on that I have been doing this for 5 years now, teaching by correspondence two university courses to students all over the world, whom I've never met, of course, both using books that I published, one on world religions and one of all things on Protestantism, because I have several books in Protestantism. So I know this works. In other words, there's a method in this. I should further add that this is the future of higher education by correspondence. With the electronics media, you know, the means of communication being so rapid and so easily multiplied, over 5 million people are taking university courses in the United States by correspondence today. There are universities that give up to a doctorate by correspondence only. And I found that often my students, whom I never meet, do more work than those who sit in a class, listen. Because the essence of good education is maximum activity on the part of the student. Is that right, sisters? So, now what I will do, my plan is then that we would start on an every 2 week basis, so that you don't get ahead of me, because I've got so many other responsibilities. But I've decided in prayer that I would do this, and that we would have to pace ourselves. If we began every 2 weeks, I think I can keep up with you. Hopefully in a week or so. Now, you might have to give me more than a week at first to get going, you see. But that I would get two things back to you by airmail. One, your corrected answers. In other words, I will then indicate, and one way that I might do it, if you use red, let me use blue, okay? to encircle the correct answer. If it's not encircled, well, then we don't have to make purple out of the red, okay? Follow me? Then your answer stands. So you will get that. Secondly, I hope to be able to record a tape lasting 30 to 40 minutes on the basis of your answers of what should be the right answers and why. In other words, I would give you the reason for the right answer. Okay, sisters? Now, in teaching, because after all, I have been teaching in various situations, I have found that if I do this with my students, that I give them a quiz, then I return their answers with my corrections, then spend about a half an hour commenting on where they made their mistake, which is, in effect, what they should have said and why. Then I've got both maximum, I'd say, clarity in the student's mind, and what I'm most concerned with is maximum motivation, because you've got to want to do this. And to want to do it means you've got to do whatever is necessary to do it. Okay, sisters? So that's the program. Now, the second level, which you will find in your manual, but need not pertain to you unless you so desire, is a list of topics for study and dialogue. Now, these are generally, well, they will be fewer in number, 10, 12 or so. These questions, well, they're not so much questions, they're topics. Let me read. The topics differ from the preceding questions in several ways. They do not repeat what was in the previous questions. Otherwise, why make them? But probe deeper into the meaning of what the catechism, for want of space, cannot deal with extensively. They will require further thought and perhaps study. Moreover, they supplement what is in the catechism and offer a wide latitude, either for conference presentation or group sessions. The topics can also be developed into essays for assignment in classes of sacred doctrine or inquiry programs on the Catholic Church. Get the logic? Now, my recommendation to you, sisters, is use the topics if you wish, but you will have, I think, enough matter for discussion on the questions. Now, my recommendation is that there be, if possible, weekly. I would recommend that it be as informal as possible so that people don't feel that, because if you've got to do something and everybody, if you're like me, maybe you're not, it can take the edge off of it. That there be some group discussion after the questions have been answered, after you get the answers. Okay, sisters? Now, whether you discuss formally, which I would suggest and merely suggest, whether you do it regularly, which I would merely suggest, I would, however, strongly recommend that you do discuss in such opportunities as you have, informally. All right, sisters? Discuss after the questions have been answered, you know, why or whatever it means or what your ideas and opinions are, and the same, if you wish, with the topics which you will be given. Now, the topics often require sources that may not be either available to you or, frankly, would go beyond what you may want as the benefit from this program. For example, the first topic for further study and dialogue. How is the Word of God capitalized? Who is God? Related to the Word of God, lowercase, which has been revealed to the human race. Now, sisters, you don't answer that question in one sentence. First, even to know what the question means. Why do we describe divine revelation as God speaking, underline speaking, to man? Why does the Bible always say, the Lord said, the Lord spoke? Why? At any rate, that's for your further reflection, discussion, whatever you wish. Well, sisters, that is about my message to you, and the rest, I think, is in your hands. You will then get the answers back, and I would consider them as belonging to you then. You see, they are yours. I figure, now it depends on your speed. In other words, don't rush it. Far better to do it well than to do it hurriedly. And I will, as I say, make every effort I can to get a recording back on the basis of your answers, because once I see where you've made mistakes, I remember when I say mistakes, it's not that you're wrong, because frankly, none of these questions really is that wrong, but you're not clear. Before I close, though, I would like to end with this bit of commentary. I believe that a community like yours, which is to be so concentratedly a life of prayer and sacrifice, that you are a contemplative community without being strictly cloistered. That's the language, am I correct, of your constitutions, with a stress on the interior life, with such impact as God will make through you, believe me, if you are holy, to the far ends of the earth. He will, but you be holy. But if you want to develop your interior life, you simply must deepen the understanding of your faith. You must. You must see growth and progress, not only in the practice of virtue, which is usually implied as moral virtue, but progress in that one virtue which is the foundation of all the rest, the virtue of faith. And we recognize progress in the virtue of faith by our ever clearer and deeper and more lucid understanding of God. Because we call these theological virtues, since their object is God. Whom do we believe in? It's God. What did he reveal? Himself. Consequently, do not suppose for one moment that what I am recommending to you, I don't see as alien to, but even essentially different from, the purpose of your religious life. And in dealing as I do with even the strictest contemplatives and with men and women that God has put into my life of extraordinary prayer and union with Him, the one thing I almost never fail to tell them, what you still need, you've got the love of God. What you need is more knowledge of God. And if you want a motto from this program, whatever we call it, I think the best would be our Lord's own words at the Last Supper. This is eternal life, that they may know you and Jesus Christ, whom you sent. That they may know you, because though we can't hold back, the measure of our love and service will be in direct proportion to our profound understanding of this God who tells us to love him. Now, sisters, how's that for a start? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us from every cause to be.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
Have mercy, Father.